greetings. Worthy name of Jesus, each one here this morning. Blessing to be here already this morning. As I considered a message, thought about a message this morning, many things been going on the last while. My mind was torn many directions. So I ask an interest in your prayers this morning. And I thought about death a lot. I thought of quite a few pass from life, physical death. Last while, we heard of Glenn Hostetler. Just in a couple hours, he was gone. Thought he was good. Had a lot of, wasn't really thinking about him being the next one to hear about. Then there was Aunt Barbara's been sick for a long time. She's been wanting to die a number of times. She was sick 4 years ago. And she kind of wanted to die. Life was, she had a hard time in life. She lost her husband. She had a lot of things happen. I mean, she rejoiced. She wanted to live as well. I mean, she said, if God wants me to stay. But one time she went into surgery and she came out of surgery. And she said, well, this isn't heaven. She's kind of disappointed. Woke up over here. Then there was a neighbor man up here. He's 41. I don't know much about him. But, he's a middle-aged man, 41 years old. Take a four-wheeler down the road and somehow lost control, rolled it. Death, physical death, it's gone. 16-year-old boy. I don't know what happened there. I don't know all the details. So there's nobody too old or too young to die. But I thought death, that's... What about preaching about life? We all like to live. Life. What about life? For text, I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Setting here is this. I think Moses was about 90 years old when he said these words. It was up there on the plain of Moab. The people were gathered out, the big assembly. They were getting ready to go with Joshua in the land of promise. And I think Moses knew what they were humans and what they were going to face, And he says here, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both thou and thy seed may live. What's he saying here? Seems like the Lord here, he gets a whole creation to stand in order, to stand as a witness. He says, heaven and earth. I think heaven speaks of the spiritual realm. Earth of the physical realm. No, we are created human beings, flesh. We have created from the dust of the earth, but we also have the breath of God. I think we talked about that last time. Together they form an all-encompassing courtroom. Isaiah 1:2, he echoes kind of the same thing. He says, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth. What are we listening this morning? What are we thinking? I thought about titling the message, What Am I Thinking? If we really thought seriously and soberly, would I do what I do? Matthew Henry says, man is a little world consisting of heaven and earth, soul and body. They're put together. You know, and here he's saying, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Well, we go back into Genesis, the second chapter, about verse 7, I think it is, where God formed man, and then he just right after that, he planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man and the woman who he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There, I think, there you have life and death, blessing and cursing. And I don't know necessarily what all that tree consists of, or what the tree of good and evil, what's it say here? And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed out of the ground. Made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm not sure what all that means, what that is, but I think there was simply the good was whether they believed God and obeyed him. The bad was whether they didn't believe God and they disobeyed him. I don't know. Sometimes I think in the world we live in today, with so much knowledge, so much information at our fingertips, you know, if we can't figure it out, if we can't understand it, then we tend to discard it. And a lot of things are getting gray because we think, or maybe I should say I do, or many do, that we have to have a reason. Well, we heard this morning they were supposed to march around Jericho 6 times, and they were supposed to march around there a lot oftener on the 7th day. I don't know how many of the Israelites said, just foolishness, you know, doesn't matter. I can't figure that out. Why would we do that? What about many commands in the Bible? You know, we may not be able to figure them out, but we could do them. What about just simple obedience? I think that's what God wants. He doesn't necessarily expect us to figure it out. Faith, in fact, faith is not faith if we could understand it. Is it? Faith isn't really faith if we could figure it out. Mind of God's way up there. We have a limited mind. God's saying, I'll set before you life and death. Here's the way that will make you blessed. Here's the life that I created you for. Choose it. If you don't choose it, you're going to die. Jesus, you know, he affirms this enduring testimony, that to heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot, you know, it's going to go out of the law. God underscores that his words are universally binding and eternally recorded. So the text verse here we have this morning, again, I think the life and death, I just went to the Garden of Eden there. I think that's a little where there's life and death. Blessing and cursing there as well. Back to Deuteronomy 30. I'd like to read a number of these chapters. Their covenant with God was reestablishing, going over that with them. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel. Chapter 29, verse 1. In the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he had made with them in Horeb, Moses called unto Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants. And we go down to verse 9. It says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. We go on. We come down at verse chapter 30. We're not going to read all of this. Verse 9 says, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as ye have rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God, all thine heart with all thy soul. And it's interesting here, the next verse, it says, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven. Thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is aught beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. So, you know, this audience that gathered there, they were placed under a solemn and they were under immediate accountability. And I think when God's word comes to us, we become accountable. Heaven and earth are witness. Psalms 50, verse 5 and 6, there's a... Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Gather that I may speak these words and call heaven and earth to witness against them, thee. You know, it's not a distant threat, but it's a present reality. The covenant terms are enforced today. I think that today it's up to us. Our lives are either blessed or they're not. Well, they're blessed either way. But we're under God's blessing or we're not. And it's up to our choices. God lays out on the table plainly the options. None of us can claim ignorance. We have it. It's not beyond the sea or beyond the heavens. We have it. The options are out here on the table in front of us. He said before, like says there in verse 15, I've set before thee. It's there on the table. This day life and good, death and evil. Joshua later, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. The call still comes down to us today. And I think it shows the divine fairness of God. None of us are going to be able someday. We wake up in that awful place to say, well, God, I just didn't understand. I didn't know. I wasn't told. I wasn't warned. You didn't give us a chance. What he's saying is, I've got it laid before you today, life and death. Go ahead and choose life. And I thought of Aunt Barb. You know, when she was young, she chose life. But she made choices all the way through her life. And every one of us today, we're making choices every day. We're choosing. We're choosing life or death, good or evil, right or wrong, light or darkness. It's all there. We're living our life day by day. And what we live shows us what we really believe. I think that's sobering to me. It's serious. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. That my soul knoweth right well. You know, that's life. Two starkly different roads lie open before us. Deuteronomy 28, it gives the outcome of both paths. Obedience brings abundant prosperity. Disobedience brings disease. Proverbs affirms the principle. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. New Testament says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God's moral universe is binary. Trust and obey, or rebel or perish. We have the choices. And God invites us so lovingly. Choose life. If you obey, the Lord will bless you. Jesus came and he said, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's why I like to preach about life. You know, death's a reality. But how much better to preach life? Or how much more is life? Life at its fullest. Revelation 22:17, some of the same invitation here. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the water of life freely. It's a gift of God. Choosing life means embracing God's covenant, means submitting to his word, and it ultimately means receiving the life Christ offered us. Why? So we can live life. And it also ripples through the generations. Exodus 20, verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verses before that, it talks about the fathers upon the children, third and fourth generation. But then it talks, you know, if we make the right decisions. Blessed is a man who fears God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thine house. That's what he said to the jailer there. The Philippian jailer. Faithful obedience secures life, not only for ourselves, but also it's a legacy for our children. So Deuteronomy 30:19, this is a quote, presents a cosmic courtroom where heaven and earth hear God lay out two paths, life with blessing or death with curse. Because God has revealed the options clearly, the responsibility responsibility lies with each person to respond. Choosing life, expressed in loving obedience and ultimately fulfilled in Christ, secures God's favor for us and influences generations after us. So, a few minutes here, I'd like to talk a little bit about death. What do you think of when you think of death? It's separation, isn't it? People wake up from sleep. Time someone's sleeping, you shake them. They can't hardly wake them up. But you know, if it's just sleep, they wake up. People come out of comas. They might be in a coma for a year. Sometimes they wake up. They're never going to wake up when it's death, unless God works a miracle. Death. I thought a lot about this song. I wish we could sing it. We probably could. Some of you would know it, but I couldn't even find notes for it. Death began to form a line to cross the river when Abel died from his own brother's hand. No, sometimes it's just good to stop and think about death. We don't really like to do it sometimes. Like I said, I'd rather talk about life. But you know, when you face death, it's a reality. How often this last year have we stood by an open grave, watched them lower a body down in the grave, and they covered up death? Now the streams of mortal souls has swelled old Jordan, passing on there in judgment to stand. We sometimes hear death in three distinct, or we hear of three distinctions of death. We have the physical death, we have the spiritual death, and eternal death. And in general, I think all three of those are valid. The Bible clearly speaks about three deaths. Death is a fact of our human experience. I thought, you go to Genesis 5. This is just not long, you know, into the Bible. You go to Genesis 5. This is the books of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created them and blessed them. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his own image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, so maybe it wasn't just a few years or shortly after, but it's just the fifth book in the Bible. And here we have death. Get someone and he dies. Get someone and he dies. Get someone and he dies. But you know what? Exciting is down in verse 24 of this chapter. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, when I think of God, I think of how he created man and how he created us to live, what his plan was for us to live. How would it be to live life here and just walk into heaven? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, not to have to face the dark Jordan River, that unknown, the great beyond? He walked with God, and he was not. And I don't know. This is a bright exception, but I think maybe it gives us an indication of something better and more desirable than death that God kind of may have had in mind. Although he knew that we wouldn't... the choices that man were going to make. death is a punishment for sin. First reference to death is the Old Testament in Genesis 2:17. And we know the punishment Adam and Eve bore for their sins. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden and died. Eventually they died. Death is something to be feared and avoided. This is in the Old Testament. And I had a lot of scriptures on my lined up. And, you know, somehow I didn't print them off. So I don't really have time to go look at all these. But your Bible readers, you know these verses. The Old Testament, many times, the psalmist, you know, he felt like death was just around the corner and he wanted to live. He asked God to preserve his life. Give me time. Don't let me die, you know. And but it was something that happened. A lot of them lived out to be good old age, full of years, with a sense of that satisfaction that they had enjoyed life, natural span. And they had children and grandchildren, no sense. They felt like they could live in them. Psalm 90 lets us know that a full lifespan is short, is cut off because of God's wrath, because of sin, effects of sin. I think some of the Old Testament writers, their fear and avoidance of the unknown, because I don't know, there's a lot of things weren't revealed in the Old Testament that we have today. But they according to Hebrews, they looked forward, they trusted God, had good lives. Length of days is promised for obedience, and is a sign of God's favor, then the cutting off of those days, even when long, is an indication that death is something unnatural. So we don't like to think about death so much. But in the Old Testament, death is not outside the control or rule of God. We know how that Job, he knew God, his life was in God's hand. He said, I know that though I perish, skin worms eat this body, I shall see God. And they believe in the resurrection at least. He kills and makes alive, brings down to hell, raises people up from there again. That's what the Bible says. He can take men to himself without their dying. Kings 2:11. He can bring death completely to nothing and triumph over it by raising the dead. And we have verses that go with that. Death is not victorious. That's another fact in the Old Testament. New Testament. Death is a penalty for sin. We know that. Paul, he talks about that. By one man's sin came death to all men. Physical death came through Adam. It's the lot of all men. Through fear of it and what may follow it, they are throughout their lives in bondage. Hebrews 2:15, Romans 8:15. Talks about spiritual death. All men are by nature spiritually dead, alienated from God, the source of life, by sin, insensible to divine things, unresponsive to his law. Eternal death. Those who remain in spiritual death throughout their lives do not believe on the Son of God, die in their sins, remain under the wrath of God, and the day of judgment will be consigned to a state of eternal separation from God, called in the scripture the second death. These are just facts. Sometimes I've heard the statement, facts don't care about your feelings. You know, sometimes our feelings are kind of hurt by the facts we're confronted with. But, you know, it's a good thing to face the facts. They're not going to change. Thank God we can change. He's provided so much that we can change. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and so overcame death. That is the good news of the gospel, and that's life. This good news of the gospel, that's the center of the New Testament message. And it's witnessed in every part of the New Testament. All four gospels record Jesus' prophecies before this event. In the coming of Christ, and especially in his resurrection, the process has begun. And the life of the age to come is broken into this present age. Believers already partake of the life of the coming age. For them, the future verdict has been passed. They have already passed from death, the condition of men in this age, to life. That's John 5:25. Some of these verses we sometimes read at funerals or hear read. No, I think we should think about it more. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as a father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. There's quite a bit more that we could read there. Though they still live in this world, their attitude to sin, the law, and the world is to be that of dead men. In Christ, their head, believers partake of the life of the age to come. Physical death for them is asleep. Sting of death has been removed. It cannot separate from Christ, so as not to be feared, may even be desired. And the Bible does say that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And God has created us with that desire, I think, for life. Life. This song, again, I'd like to read it. In the great beyond, over in the land of Eden, we'll meet our friends who left this world so long ago. What a hallelujah morning when we gather over there. We will praise our blessed Lord forevermore. Then it says, I'm so glad that a way was made at Calvary. When Jesus died, was laid to rest in the tomb. In the grave he slept a while, then overpowered it. Praise his name, now he lives forevermore. That's where my hope is. Jesus Christ, he came. We might have life. We could have it more abundantly. We could have our sins washed away. We can walk in newness of life. And I wanted to look at good and evil, but I don't have time. But think about it. All the good that God has for us. He has got so many good things he wants to bless us with. Will we choose evil? In the great beyond, over in the land of Eden, we'll meet our friends. Well, that's the chorus there. But that's not the whole song. I'm not sure. The one verse I still wanted, it's not there, had something to do with, oft I wondered what they saw as they were crossing and who they met at the top of the hill. I think that's what this is telling us, this verse this morning. Today, if you hear his voice, today, let's consider. Today, let's choose. Let's make those choices in life that lead to everlasting life. We'll close with the verse again there in our text verse. Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, both thou and thy seed may live. Let's daily we're making choices. We're choosing daily, life or death, good and evil, right or wrong. God bless you as you continue to serve him. Choose life. Prepare for eternity. Let's kneel for prayer. Loving Father, this morning we bow. We thank you for